Father, I want to thank you for this special moment as we embark upon a journey from your Bible that you have plotted for us today. And I pray that you use me to be a blessing and encouragement to every person who's here. In fact, Lord, since a number watch online live and later on in the internet, bless them also through this message that you have. And use me, Lord, to be that blessing. So guide and direct now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I was a little bit surprised with Marlon's children's story, because I want to show you a study that was done in 1996. Now, I know that was a while ago, but believe it or not, the Lutheran Hour Ministries contacted George Barna Group Limited, a Christian pollster organization, to find out what people think is the most important thing about Christmas. So, what makes Christmas an important day? And they called 1,006 random people and asked them this question. And frankly, I was surprised, but I wasn't surprised. 33% said the birth of Jesus. 45% said family time. 3% says holiday day off. 3% said presents and parties. 5% don't know. 5% said nothing. Now, this is a Christian organization, the Lutheran Hour Ministries. They asked Barna to conduct this poll. 33% of the people that they called, and only 33% said the birth of Jesus. Folks, there's something that's not right about this, okay? We are really missing the point. And so I want to share with you, ready or not, here I come. Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn with me to Luke, the second chapter, and you're going to discover that things haven't changed very much. Ready or not, here I come. Luke, the second chapter, and we'll be reading verses 1 through 7. And I want to invite all the children, I hope you have Bibles. Open them. If you don't have a Bible, then you need to come see me and get one. But I want you to follow along as we read this beautiful Christmas story about the birth of Jesus. Okay, Luke, the second chapter. Everybody have it? All right. Here's what it says. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. And they were there to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were complete for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him into swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now, as we look at ready or not, here I come, my first question is, what's wrong with this picture? A pregnant woman turned away from shelter on the very verge of delivering. I wonder if you've ever had the opportunity of helping somebody and decided not to do it and later on wish you had. I have. In fact, sometimes I wonder if I'm not a little too ungenerous. I mean, I cannot believe that no one in that city would take compassion on a woman ready to deliver a baby and they end up in a barn. Remember, ready or not, here I come. I want you to know things have not changed very much. And so, how did that happen? There, I invite you to go to 2 Timothy 3 and let's read what it's going to be like in the last days of verse history. 2 Timothy, the third chapter, verses 1 through 7, or 1 through 5. It says this. I want to give you time to turn to it because I don't want you to miss this. But know this, Paul wrote to the precious Timothy, the young minister, that in the last days perilous time will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, heady, haughty, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having the form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From thee such people turn away. It is unconscionable to me that no one took pity on this young woman ready to deliver and turned her away so that she had to go to a barn. But folks, we're living in that society today, and maybe once in a while you have participated in this kind of behavior. For men will love themselves. They will love money. They will boast. They'll be proud. They'll be blasphemers. Will be lovers of themselves. Or I said that, disobedient to parents. Unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving. God forbid that we be like that. The Christmas time brings our memory to Jesus Christ, who was born in a barn. He never complained about that. Do you know that? But if I was there, I wonder, what would I have done? I know all of you have heard of the Christmas pageant that was played at some church somewhere, in which they asked a boy who was relatively big for his age, because his mother was an alcoholic and he had alcoholic syndrome, so he wasn't all quite there, but he was a big boy. They asked him to be the innkeeper, and he had to work really hard at learning his lines. I'm sorry, I have no room. I'm sorry, I have no room. I'm sorry, I have no room. As the story goes, that as they turned to go away, all of a sudden the big boy said, "Wait a minute, you can have my room." Right there at the pageant, everybody was like, what would I have done if I was that innkeeper? Ready or not, Jesus is coming. And what if it's him knocking on the door? I don't want to be like they were back then. I don't want to be like it says that we are today in the Bible. We need to think about these things along with the beautiful pageantry and all the other stuff that has sort of harmed Christianity and Christmas, and really think about what it tells us about Christ and his sacrifice for us. Well, there's another thing to look at. Let's take a look at the story continues in verse 8. So go back to Luke, the second chapter, and we'll look at verse 8 onward. Because there's another problem here. which you probably already have thought out. I hope you have. Now there were in the same country shepherds living in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be for all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and singing, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to men." And I ask you, what is wrong with this picture? In other words, why didn't the angels go to the religious leaders at the temple in Jerusalem? Why didn't the angels go to Jerusalem, which is the place where God says, "I'm going to put my name," and tell the people who were there? Instead, the story tells us they go out in the wilderness somewhere talking to shepherds. And by the way, the people in Jerusalem look down on those who are shepherds because they're poor peasants, you know. We're above that. We're educated. We're sophisticated. We live in the big city. What's wrong with this picture is that the angels could only go to the shepherds because no one else was expecting the coming of Jesus Christ. Ready or not, I'm coming. He's coming. This is a horrible state of affairs. I love the book Desire of Ages. With amazement, the heavenly messengers beheld the indifference of the people whom God had called. And by the way, that continues, that God had called to be the light bearers of their area. The priests and the teachers of the nation knew not that the greatest event of the ages was about to take place. In their strive for riches and worldly honor, they were not prepared for the revelation of the Messiah. Ready or not, here I come. Are any of us being affected by riches and worldly honor? Are we prepared for the revelation of Jesus Christ? In the meantime, all the heathens around us don't know anything because we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing. By the way, I don't want to put guilt trips on you at Christmas time, because like I've said before, I'll say again, I love Christmas time. People seem to be friendlier and happier. Also, as a minister, I like it because there are a lot of people who are depressed and lonely at the holidays, and you have a chance to reach out to them and make them feel better. But no one was looking for the coming of Jesus except some smelly old shepherds. Where are we at this one? In that survey I asked you kindly to fill out for me, notice the question, how many of you think the world knows that Jesus is coming soon? I didn't say world. I said other Christians. And then number two was, how many of you think Adventists know that Jesus is coming soon? Why? Because no one was ready for his second coming. His first coming, I mean. They weren't there. Except the shepherds. And so we need to be very, very careful. Matthew 2, 1 through 7. For there's another thing here that we need to look at real quick. And then I'll try to make this more happy. Happy. Praise the Lord. Look what it says. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." And when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. What is wrong about this picture? You see, this group of people already heard about the angels, okay? They already heard about the shepherds. They already heard about the star. And they had the prophecies of Daniel 9 right before their eyes. And now the Magi are there, and their arrival conjures up what? Trouble, fear. So what's so happy about this? Jesus wants us not to fall in the same trap that his people fell into the first time he came. He wants us to be in love with him and have a personal daily relationship with him so that when he comes, we are ready. It's not a surprise. Not only that, because we know this, we can help our family, friends, and neighbors know it. And those who choose to accept it will also be ready. In fact, if you want to be ready for the Lord's coming, help other people get ready. And by an accident, you'll discover you had gotten yourself ready. I just read this and I go, "Lord, I don't want to be like them." But you know what? I am like them. And so I'm scared for myself, so I'm scared for you. Ready or not, here I come. I want to be ready, even though it's difficult. And to think of all these Christians that go to church, thousands and maybe millions of them, and they're hearing mishmash from the pulpit. And these are souls that Jesus died for. And I think, first and foremost, Peter, don't let it be you, because if it's you, then you're just like everybody else, and what good are you to me? And then, Lord, it's got to be my family besides me, because if it isn't, what good if it is? I save myself, my family's not there. But as a pastor, I have a great privilege, and that is I have a huge family, and I care about my family. I want them to be there too. And the only way that we can be ready is to have our conscience pricked that it was like that for the first coming. Don't kid yourself. It's like that right now. Wow, desire of ages again. And there are the haughty scribes and Pharisees, priests. This quote will blow you away. Now I'm going to read it in its entirety, but I only have part of it there. But you know it's page 62. Listen to this very carefully. "Now pride and envy close the door against the light. Because if the reports brought by the shepherds and the wise men were credited, the religious leaders would place the priests and rabbi in the most unenviable position, disproving their claim to be the exponents of the truth of God." That's not the big stuff yet. "These learned teachers would not stoop to be instructed by those whom they termed heathen. It could not be, they said, that God would pass us by, them by, to communicate with ignorant shepherds and uncircumcised Gentiles. They determined to show their contempt for the report that were exciting King Herod and all of Jerusalem. They would not even go to Bethlehem to see whether these things were so." And they led the people to regard the interest in Jesus as a fanatical excitement. Here began the rejection of Christ by the priests and rabbis. Here we go. From this point, their pride and stubbornness grew into a settled hatred of the Savior. While God was opening the door to the Gentiles, the Jewish leaders were closing the door to themselves. Ready or not, here I come. Luke 8, chapter 18, verse 8 says, however, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? My brothers and sisters, if nothing else, may this message that God had ordained for us today conjure up in our minds a determined effort that when he comes, as far as we're concerned, he does find faith. Faith in him as personal Lord and Savior. Ready or not, here I come. Every December, Diane, who is a United Airlines hostess, wears a little golden pin on her United Airlines uniform. It is a beautiful pin depicting three wise men following the Star of Bethlehem. In her work as flight attendant, people will sometimes comment on the beauty of the pin, and she used those situations as opportunities to witness for Jesus. She wore that little pin on a flight to Los Angeles this past week. She came to one seat where there were two young girls, 7 and 10 years old. The 7-year-old said, "That's a pretty pin." Diane responded, "Do you know what the pin means?" They both looked carefully at the three wise men on camels following a star and then said, "No." They didn't know what it signified. And then Diane explained, "Well, it's the three wise men following the stars to Bethlehem to see baby Jesus. Do you know that story?" And they both said, "No." They had never heard it before. Over the next few hours as they flew across the Pacific, many people commented on the beautiful pin, but to her amazement, not a single one seemed to understand, or at least did not acknowledge that they understood what it symbolized. She came to one lady with a 6-year-old boy, and the woman commented, "What a beautiful pin." Diane said to the little boy, "Do you know the story of the three wise men following the star to find baby Jesus?" But the mother interrupted and said, "No, he doesn't. And we don't teach him about that." Not only did the little boy not know this story, his mother did not even want him to hear it and intentionally kept him ignorant of it. She seemed to be offended that Diane would try to tell her son the story. Did you know it was like that out there? Folks, ready or not, here I come. Father, I pray that at this holiday season, this Christmas time, as a family, that you would start working on our hearts and minds through your Holy Spirit to get us ready. For if they weren't ready for your first coming as your chosen people, then, Lord, it's very obvious to me that the same thing will happen unless we do something about it. So help every person in this room, including me, to act on these convictions and to seek you fervently so we can not only be ready, but our families will be ready, our church will be ready, and our neighbors will be ready too. So blessed to this end, and thank you for hearing this prayer and answering it, because it's prayed in Jesus' name. Amen.